Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word chosen for our special meditation this morning is recorded in St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, reading from verse 13 through verse 16 as follows. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, beloved hearers of his wonderful word. The text before us this morning is a virtual classic in the debates that have been raging over the centuries concerning children, particularly little children, in the kingdom of God's grace. Are little children sinners by nature? Can little ones, who are incapable of language as far as we can tell, can little ones actually believe the gospel? And is it baptism, through which the Holy Spirit of God works saving faith in their little hearts? This particular text, and many like it, assure us of all these truths in the affirmative. And we can see for ourselves the light of little children's faith at an early age already, shining forth before men in their squeals of delight at seeing their Savior's cross, or his picture, or his church building, or his word, the Holy Bible. They can see their faith shining before men in their very first words, in which they include Jesus and Abba and Amen in the prayers they say, and with the fervor of genuine conviction. And they identify themselves with the little children in that wonderful picture of Jesus with the little ones. They identify themselves with those little children snuggling close to Jesus as he hugs them to his heart. What confidence they express when they sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. How sad, on the other hand, that the love and devotion and confidence of many such little ones begins to fade. Indeed, begins to drop off with shocking suddenness soon after the children start school, when they become exposed to the world with its luring substitutes for the tender shepherd, when they get literally hooked on the pleasures and treasures of this life. Jesus songs, as we sometimes call the hymns for little children, Jesus songs soon give way to commercial jingles, which they see on TV, and to pop songs sung by famous worldly singers. Bible stories are set aside in favor of cartoon characters and adventure stories full of gore and violence. Bedtime prayers are often skipped, or at least abbreviated, when after a long day the kids complain about being so tired. So tired from playing, tired of watching television, tired from being fixated on their iPads, or possibly just tired from doing homework. Table prayers at lunchtime in school are often shelved simply to avoid embarrassment. Maybe they're just deliberately shelved to avoid the conversation about what they're doing. And the downward slide gets steeper and goes faster with every passing day and year until, when the children are teenagers, it's hard to spot a Christian in the crowd, judging from their behavior, from their language, and from their conduct. That's really sad. And what should we indeed do about it, if anything? Or is there some truth to what worldly psychologists say, that children simply outgrow their need for religion? And that truly mature individuals can easily do without it? On the basis of our text before us, let us consider as our theme the popular idea that church is really for kids. Ironically, this statement, intended by unbelievers to minimize the importance of religion in people's lives, expresses a sacred truth taught by Jesus himself in this very text. That the kingdom of God is indeed for children. Children in years, whose simple faith clings trustingly to their dear Lord Jesus, and children in spirit, adults, who by God's grace humbly pattern their faith after that of the little ones, and remain children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. As Jesus was teaching the people about the sanctity of marriage and of the Christian home, it was very natural that the welfare of their children was on the minds of the mothers who brought them to Jesus. No doubt in the minds of the fathers as well. Now, even if at this point in time they did not yet recognize Jesus as the very Messiah of God, they did obviously regard him as a prophet whose great workings of miracles and the giving of special blessings would surely bring down the divine grace and favor of God upon little ones. And so they brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them. Luke calls them infants, really young children. They weren't looking just for some magical touch or supernatural touch, or Jesus himself would have rebuked them for their superstition. But Matthew says in the parallel of our text that they wanted Jesus to put his hands upon them as in blessing, and pray. They sought his benediction upon their children. What a fine example were these Jewish mothers and fathers to all Christian parents today. For not only do many in our day and time needlessly postpone the baptism of little children because of some purely earthly consideration, like the fact that they can't get all their relatives together for dinner on a certain time, a certain Sunday. But they ignore the sacrament altogether many a time, and thus keep their children from the covenant of God's grace into which he earnestly desires to bring them. They compound their neglect through the children's formative years, spending virtually no time, expending no effort to speak of, in the Christian training of their little ones. Busy moms and dads teach the children no prayers, sing no hymns with them, read them no Bible stories, hold no family devotions, bring them to God's house and to Sunday school on an irregular basis, and sometimes not at all. Help them only occasionally with their Sunday school memory work, their worksheets, their confirmation class assignments. And then they wonder down the road why the kids don't seem to be very interested in church anymore. Why they have no sense of Christian decorum in the divine service. They can't seem to pay attention to what's being said or what's being sung. Why they're always getting into trouble, and so on. The holy writer of the Proverbs tells Christian parents, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 4, lays this responsibility first and foremost upon us dads. He says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't give them just cause to be angry with you, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's a big job, to be sure, but it is a job that is not optional with Christian parents. Those who neglect this important work, yea, those who actually stand in the way of little ones coming to their Savior, or in any way or shape or form make it difficult for them to do so, they earn and incur Jesus' wrath and displeasure. As in the case of Jesus' own disciples here in our text, who rebuked those that brought them, our text tells us. The word rebuked in the Greek actually means that they threatened them. They intimidated these mothers for bothering Jesus with all of these kids. After all, how important could they be to the kingdom of God? What good could they possibly reap from Jesus' touch? Most of them were too little even to understand what was going on. They certainly weren't old enough to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter and the disciples had done. And the Baptists, of course, measure faith in little children on the basis of what they can confess with their mouths. Sound familiar? Such is the argument of those who deny the blessings of baptism to little children. To those who deny the need for little children to have the grace and mercy of God in Christ Jesus, their Savior. Those who would deposit their babies in some nursery facility at church rather than bringing them into the sanctuary of God's house to receive his blessing. After all, we wouldn't want those young children, those infants, to disturb our adult concentration and meditation, would we? And what was Jesus' reaction to this obstacle raised by his own disciples, by those whom he would send out into the world to preach the gospel to every creature, for those who would be his pastors and teachers. When Jesus heard it, saw it, he was much displeased. He was moved with indignation, the Greek says. And he said unto them, suffer, that is, let the little children come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Notice that Jesus does not say, let them be brought. He says, let them come. Get out of their way. Put nothing in their path to discourage them, to dissuade them, or distract them from coming to me, whom I have called by my gospel. That's an offense to do that to Christ's little ones. It's not that little children are sinless. It's not as though they are predisposed to cooperate with the Holy Ghost in their conversion. No such thing. For little children, as we well know from the Bible, are conceived and born in sin. As the psalmist testifies, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And through Moses, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, from his youngest days, as we gather from the Hebrew. So that without salvation, they too would suffer the wages of sin, everlasting death in hell. So why then does Jesus say, of such is the kingdom of God? What does he imply about children, especially little ones in particular, that is not at all typical of adults? Not to their own credit, but alone to the glory of God's grace in Christ Jesus, the fact is that Christian children, particularly little ones, are humbly receptive to the teachings of Bible truth. They are simple in their willingness to accept the Savior's word. Jesus says it, therefore I believe it. They are unquestioning and without doubt about the promises made to them by their Savior. And they are eager to receive forgiveness for their wrongs, comfort in their sadness, security in their terrors, and love in their loneliness. You see, my dear hearers, they have not yet become hardened in their hearts, proud in their own conceits, and cynical in their worldliness. And so when the Holy Spirit of God calls even the tiniest infants by the gospel, before they can even understand language, when he calls them in holy baptism, washes away their sins, and creates in their hearts saving faith in their Redeemer, they accept Jesus without question. They cling to him with all their might. They love him as their best and truest friend. And as they become old enough to understand speech and learn more of Jesus from his word, they grasp his truth with simplicity. They declare it unhesitatingly. But Jesus says, and they hang on to it unquestioningly. You've heard them. You've heard them yourselves. And they're not just parroting what they don't really believe. When they sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, like me, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And Jesus took those believing young children those infants, as Luke calls them, took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. He did even more than the parents had asked for or wished for. He hugged them tenderly to his breast, showed them his special love, received them into the security of his loving arms, as he did also for us who were baptized into his name as tender infants. He put his hands upon them and blessed them, not merely wishing them well, but absolving them of their sins, assuring them of being his children and heirs of everlasting life in heaven. Now, it's easy to see from this precious text the unique truth of today's rather strange-sounding theme. But taking it in its proper light, church is really for kids. But in Jesus' sworn statement in verse 15 of our text, we see yet another fact of this sacred truth, namely that the kingdom of God's grace, his church here on earth, is not just for children in years, but for children in spirit. For adults who, by his grace, pattern their faith after the faith of little ones, and thus want to remain the children of their Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. They want to live as children of God by faith in Christ Jesus in their walk of life through this world, even as they get older, so that they are finally received into the everlasting kingdom of glory with Christ Jesus their Savior. Jesus says emphatically, "Verily I say unto you," that's his oath, "whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." This does not mean, as some people understand this passage, if you don't receive the kingdom of God, if you don't get into the kingdom of grace while you are a little child, you'll never be saved. The passage says in the Greek, "whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child does, he shall not enter therein." The unbelieving world tells us the very opposite when it says church is really for kids. It taunts us, "Come on, people, grow up, will you? Get real. Religion is for intellectual infants who can't think for themselves. Heaven, hell, those are fairy tale places for the good guys and for the bad guys in the movie of life. You don't really believe all that stuff, do you?" As Gershwin sings in his song, "It ain't necessarily so, all those things that you read in the Bible." How childish can you get? Sadly, many believing children of God fall for that sucker line every day. It's the same line the devil used on Adam and Eve. "Yea, hath God said?" You don't really believe that, do you? It's the same line that he used on the Lord Jesus himself. "If you're really the Son of God, if you really think so, you should do what I want." Close your ears to those tempting lines, beloved of the Lord. By God's grace, simply say no to Satan. Say no to wicked friends. Say no to the world, which in the service of Satan would blind you to the saving truth of God's precious word. Jesus bids you, "Be my dear child, enter into my kingdom, not by your merit, but by my grace. Not by your goodness, but by my goodness to you. Not with your cooperation, but alone by the operation of the Holy Ghost within you. Not by your intellectual resourcefulness, but by your helplessness, like a tiny babe new into the world. Receive me as a little child does, simply, sincerely, unpretentiously, trustingly, and unquestioningly. Cling to my word of life and desire it as a newborn baby does. Realize and acknowledge your weakness and cling to my grace, which is sufficient for you and made perfect when you are at your lowest. Know the folly of human reason and the wisdom of men, and submit yourself to my good and gracious will for you. Don't despise the chastenings laid upon you by your Heavenly Father, but recognize them as a manifestation of His love to you. Forget about any worthiness or merit of your own, and cling alone to me for salvation, your Redeemer, your Savior, your King, your best and kindest friend. Now, does that sound childlike to you, my dear hearers? It should, because it is. It is childlike. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child does, he shall not enter therein. And so if someone tauntingly tells you, church is really for kids, you know, grow out of it. Wise up. Get real. Use your brain. Church is for kids. Don't just be carried away with outrage, because now you can answer them confidently. You know, you're absolutely right. Church is for kids. And in childlike faith in Jesus as my Savior, I intend by His grace to remain a kid. I want to remain a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, my Savior, humbly trusting in Him alone for life everlasting in heaven. I don't want to ever grow out of that. Who so happy as I am, even now the shepherd's lamb? And when my short life is ended, by His angel hosts attended, He shall fold me to His breast with all those other little ones, there within His arms to rest. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through childlike faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior, unto life everlasting. Amen.